This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين عباد الله اتقوا الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في جميع أحوالكم سرا وجهرا. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending our peace and blessings to our beloved and noble Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. And I remind myself and yourselves on this blessed day to fear Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us to fear Him in the Quran when He said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون O you who believe, fear Allah the way He should be feared and do not die except in the state of complete submission to Him. We ask Allah to die in the state. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Ameen. Brothers and sisters, when in the light of what is happening and what is not absent in the mind of the and the mind and the heart of every single believer on the face of this earth, and every person who has an ounce of humanity and has a mind and an intellect that is usable, when you look at what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the genocide that has taken place, it is easy for us to feel a sense or a form of helplessness, to feel like we are incapable, to feel like we are disabled. But this feeling is a feeling that perhaps we felt in the start. But as the Ummah raised its voice and the Ummah spoke loud despite the forfeiting of the governments that represent them in representing this cause and doing anything substantial towards the ending of this bloodshed, we find that this Ummah effectively used the platforms that it had and that were at its disposal. And we continue to use it until today. And there are so many things that we can do in order to help our brothers and sisters, as we've been seeing a rise in you know, social media spreading awareness, in protests, in putting pressure on governments and government officials and people and their representatives, in speaking to our classmates, colleagues, neighbors, co-workers, letting everyone around us know, teaching our children what is happening, boycotting even products that come from this place that is oppressing our brothers and sisters. All of these are effective means that have been and will continue to be implemented by our brothers and sisters. But there is one most effective means of change. One most effective means of change. And that is the means of dua. Dua, my brothers and sisters, although can be perceived at times of heightened emotion as something that is minute and something that is simple and something that is easy, but wallahi, the most effective means of change is effective dua. And I say effective dua because I don't mean, when I say effective dua, the mere utterance of words or the shedding of tears and the dropping of tears or the feeling of grief and sadness. We can all feel that. We can all shed that. We can all articulate that. Or we could learn or memorize words to say and to supplicate with. But what is it that is preventing the dua of the ummah from being answered? We say make dua, and assuming by now that whoever saw what they saw and experienced what they experienced over the past few weeks by looking at the images and the videos of what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and in Gaza specifically, if until now they didn't make dua, I doubt that this person is part of the ummah. I doubt that this person is even part of the ummah, because the same way you would have made dua to Allah when one of your limbs is amputated or you're having heart problems or blood problems or sugar problems, whatever it is with your body, whatever ailment or illness you can have, and you make dua for it, if you see this happening and there still is reluctance, and there still is absence of dua, then there's an issue. But assuming we all here are already making dua for our brothers and sisters, why is it that this dua is not answered? Why is it that this dua is delayed? When we look at the prophetic tradition, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam attributed dua not being answered to something specific. He alayhi salatu wasalam he said لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ you shall command to that which is good وَلَتَنْهُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and you shall forbid evil أَوْ لَيُشَكَنَّ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا فَتَدْعُونَهُ ثُمَّ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَكُمْ if not, if there's no commanding of good and there's no forbidding of evil, then it will indeed and with certainty, because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يُشَكَنَّ لَا is for tawkeed and يُشَكَنَّ inevitability. So he said, it is inevitable and certain that Allah will bestow a punishment upon you. And this punishment is unique because you will supplicate and make dua, but your dua will not be answered in this circumstance. What is it that is preventing this dua of ours from being answered? What is it that is a hindrance between us and Allah's answer for this dua to come down? Are we the reason? Is it from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. And that is because Allah will not change a circumstance or situation of a people until they change what's in their hearts, what's in their nufus, what's inside of them. But why is it that Allah tests us? Why is it that when the people left commanding good and forbidding evil, that Allah bestowed a punishment? Allah tells us the answer in the Quran. He said, وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ And we test them with good times and with times of hardship as well. Times of ease and times of hardship. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that they may come back. So these hard times are only there as a prescription from Allah, the most merciful and most wise. As the one who wrote upon this ummah, what is happening is the one that is more merciful to this ummah than everyone in humanity combined. If every Muslim were to come together and write down the most merciful, compassionate, and wise decree for this ummah, it would not be what it is today, because Allah is the one that wrote it today. Allah is the one that wrote what is happening to us today to happen the way it's happening. But why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that they may come back and return. Are we returning to Allah? Or are we still heedlessly negligent of His commands and His prohibitions? Are we fulfilling what He commanded us to do? Our obligations? Or are we neglecting them? Do we see munkar, haram around us? Do we see injustices around us? Do we see calamities befalling the ummah and knowing our obligations towards them? But we still choose to neglect it, to not forbid evil. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever sees a munkar, whoever sees an evil with their eye, they shall change it with their hand. And if they are incapable, then change it with their tongue. And if they are incapable, then dislike it and hate it with their heart. And that is the weakest form of faith. Have we tried and exerted ourselves to change the situation with our hands? And if we cannot do so, then did we exhaust our tongues in changing the situation? How much do we dislike it? How much is it impacting us in our hearts? Because that is the litmus test of iman. The Prophet ﷺ said at the end of this hadith that I just mentioned, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That is the weakest form of faith. If someone sees what is happening, the injustices that are happening to the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, we watch the news, we cannot open our phones in the morning, and we cannot shut our phones at night. We cannot open our laptops for work or shut them except that we watch the news and we see what is befalling the ummah day and night. If that doesn't impact us, then the weakest form of faith is not there. According to who? According to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's telling us this. But what are we doing with our hands? What are we doing to contribute towards change? What are we doing to say the truth, to speak it, to change it? That's it. The dua, brothers and sisters, is the most effective means of change if it's done correctly. And I'm not going to tell you the times, and we know the times of making dua. In sujood, in qunut, after every salah, between adhan and iqamah, the last third of the night, after praying qiyam. These are all effective times to make dua. But the dua can be blocked because of the haram that we are attaining, the haram that we're eating day and night, the lack of commanding good, our children, the people around us, our friends, our relatives, our family. We see them engaging in haram day and night. We don't command them. We don't forbid them from the evil. We don't grab their hands and show them the right path. We just sit down day and night. We go to the coffee shops. We sit down and talk and laugh and joke while our brothers and sisters around the world are being slaughtered relentlessly by an enemy that seeks, that has no compassion towards us. For wallahi, our enemy today and the enemy of the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine do not see us sitting here in this masjid as any more human than our brothers and sisters in Gaza. They see us the same way they see them. So why is it that we're not coming together and fixing our situation so that our dua can be answered? Are we returning to Allah? If we are, then the tests are working. If we are not, then the tests will increase. The trials will become more severe. The tolls will increase tremendously. Until what? Until we change. Brothers and sisters, I woke up in the morning and I was thinking of the khutbah. And all week, you know, as I was thinking of the khutbah, I was trying to think of an analogy to give during the khutbah. And this morning, alhamdulillah, it occurred to me. Imagine having a sieve or a filter with holes in it. Small little holes, or a sieve with small holes in it, and trying to pour water through it. The water will go right through it. This filter will not retain anything because it's all going through it, and the only way for this sieve to start retaining anything is by closing the holes one at a time. Each one of those holes is us. Each one of those holes is us, and each one of those holes is a pathway for shaitan to enter this ummah to weaken it from its state. And every hole is a reason for the du'as that Allah is answering constantly, because Allah will never be invoked and not answer. But it is our shortcomings, it is our distance from Allah that is making these du'a come down to be answered, but us not being deserving of it. So it falls right through us. So brothers and sisters, let not the shaitan enter this ummah through you. Don't be the reason that the du'a is not answered. If our leaders are not answering, if the people around us are not returning to Allah, then let us not be the reason why this du'a is answered. Let us do our due diligence so that our du'a at least is at that level that is worthy of being answered. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in a famous hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a hadith Qudusi. So Allah is saying, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِي فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever expresses animosity or becomes an enemy of one of my awliya, wali is someone who is close to Allah, someone who is chosen by Allah, someone who reached a level of certainty and love and nearness to Allah, that whatever they do is loved by Allah. Allah says, this wali, whoever shows animosity to them, then Allah will wage war on them. And then the rest of the hadith Qudusi continues, because Allah will not tell us wali without telling us how to get to that point of answering the dua. Look at this. Said, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant does not get close to me, or does not attain my love. There's nothing more beloved to me that can be performed by my servant than what I have obligated on them. The fard. What did Allah make fard upon us? If we're slacking in our salah, then we're the reason it's not being answered. If we're slacking or delaying our zakah and depriving it of the people that are in need of it, then we're the reason it's not being answered. If we are choppy with our fasting of Ramadan, then we're the reason. If we can afford Hajj and never did it, then we are the reason it's not being answered. If we cut our kinship and our relations with our parents, disrespect our relatives, cut the people who are close, do not command that which is good, and do not forbid evil around us, then we are the reason. We're not fulfilling the basic commands that attain Allah's love. But let's say we do, and we pass that first part. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say in this hadith Qudusi, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبُّهُ. My servant will continue to get nearer to me, and nearer to me with the extra acts of worship, the extra ibadahs, the qiyams, the sadaqah, the dua, the dhikr, all the extra acts that are not obligatory, but extra. Until I love them. This is what Allah says. Until I love them. فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَهُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who He loves. يَا رَبْ رُزُقْنَا حُبَّكْ يَا رَبْ. He said, فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَهُ. And when I love them, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I will become the hearing that they hear with. You see, when we hear, how does someone attain that hearing? Meaning, when they hear something of truth, they recognize it and understand it to be truth. And when they hear falsehood, hypocrisy, deception and evil, they will recognize it, no matter how beautiful it may sound or how articulate it may have been. No matter what it is, the person will hear with the hearing of Allah. They'll recognize truth. تُسَمَّعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And the hand that this person takes with, when they fight, when they give, when they take, whatever they do with their hand, it will have the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And whatever they walk, whatever initiative they walk in and they engage in, Allah will put barakah in it as if it is He that is with them, subhanallah. Just because Allah loves them. Ya Allah, make us from those who You love. And now look at the end of it. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. And if he asks me, if she asks me, if this servant were to supplicate and lift her hands, لَأُعْطِيَنَّ. I will certainly give them whatever they ask for. وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّ. And if they seek my help, I will help them. So brothers and sisters, let us, rather than focus on what is less, let us focus on what is effective and high. Rather than chant and post and speak and debate and walk and donate, let us become worthy of being answered in our supplication and dua. And it all starts from here today. It starts from laying a roadmap for ourselves to be one of the awliya of Allah. Because when that happens, wallah, all it takes is one that is truly in that status to change everything. May Allah make us that one. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us. We ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to guide us to the straight path. أَقُولُ مَا سَمِعْتُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الغر الميامين. Brothers and sisters, we need to fear Allah and strive. There is no time that is more worthy of us changing and approaching Allah and changing our affairs to get closer and closer to Him than the times that we live in. Wallahi, we're living in the end of times. And we don't bring things in a hadith and mention and correlate, but what we're saying is so many of the signs of the Day of Judgment are here. And we are looking at the geopolitical situation around the world, and anyone that has basic, minuscule acumen in politics understands that we are on the brink of a world war that is about to change the world the way we know it today. And there is not a better time to become from amongst those who are close to Allah and from the awliya than this time. Because it is those people that will succeed when the times come and the trials begin. They began already. Brothers and sisters, all it takes is one person to change everything. At the time of the Tabi'in, there was a Muslim army that was headed towards the lands of Bukhara and Persia, and they knew that they were facing a people that were fierce and that were tough. And the Muslims at that time understood the gravity of this battle. So they had some reluctance. Something was in their heart. They said, "We feel like Allah's not with us when it comes to this battle. Renew your intentions. Get closer to Allah." But the commander at that point, he knew what to do. He knew where to access victory. He knew the reasons Allah gives for this victory. So he brought a man by the name of Muhammad ibn Wasi', one of the righteous salihin, the righteous men of that time. a scholar, taqi, wara', a person that was close to Allah, known to be from amongst those who were awliya. If he asked, he was never rejected. Whenever he went to a place, if they wanted rain, he would pray for it and Allah will answer. He prayed for people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them shifa. He was one of these awliya. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those chosen people, there's no fear for them and they will never be sad. May Allah make us from them. Ameen. He brought Muhammad ibn Wasi' all the way to this land, back from home. He traveled weeks. He said, we need Muhammad ibn Wasi' here. When he brought Muhammad ibn Wasi', he said, Ya Shaykh Muhammad, supplicate for us before the armies. He lifted his hands and when he supplicated, the armies were certain, without a shadow of a doubt, that victory is going to come, and it did. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he faced off the toughest invaders of Islam, al-Tatar wal-Maghul, the Mongolian invasion. When they were defeated in every single battle, the Muslimin were losing left and right. But when they brought Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he stood on the front line on that field, and when he lifted his hand, the army, although outnumbered and outweaponed and everything, they said, when we saw Shaykh al-Islam making dua, we were certain victory is coming. Not a single person. Why? Because they knew from tajrubah that these are awliya Allah. In the midst of all of these fitan, people are drowning in their lusts and desires. Sin is widespread, easily accessible in the pocket of every single one of us. It is so difficult to be close to Allah, but you know what? It is so easy to become one of the awliya. Because the same way you are punished for sin, you are rewarded for rejecting it. And when a person is surrounded with sin and living strong as a Muslim and a believer, rejecting every sin that comes before them, they will get to the level of awliya much quicker than any other time before. Now is the opportunity, brothers and sisters. Let us not blame the sins and the lusts and the societies around us, because this is an opportunity to achieve that level. And I'll end with this. This is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in the end of times, the people that will defend this ummah will get the reward of 50 of you. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who was the Sahaba? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhum jami'an, and the rest of the Sahaba, the 10 that were given glad tidings in Jannah, they will get the reward of 50 of you. 50 of you. They said, do you mean them, Ya Rasulullah? Did you make a mistake? He said, no, 50 Sahabas, 50 of you. Why? This factory of upright believing men and women needs to start now. We need to start getting there now, because the stakes are high, but the rewards are higher. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةَ أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. What Allah offers us in return for our lives is expensive. It's Jannah. The highest thing we could strive for in the afterlife is Jannah. And the highest thing we could strive for in this dunya is freedom from tyranny. And we are striving for the two most sacred things for humanity. So let us make dua to give freedom to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, to end the bloodshed and end the war. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them a clear and complete and absolute victory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us a day where the people of Palestine are free of occupation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end the oppression and the tyranny that we are seeing in Palestine. We ask Allah to be with our brothers and sisters who are oppressed all over the world, to feed those who are hungry and to give drinks to those who are thirsty and to clothe and shelter those who need clothing and shelter. Ya Rabbil Alameen, we ask Allah to make us from the awliya Allah Saliheen. We ask Allah to make us from those who supplicate to Him and never get rejected. We ask Allah to make us from those who reject sin and reject anything that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who call to that which is good, forbid that which is evil, and those who are answered when they supplicate. We ask Allah to rectify our affairs as an ummah. We ask Allah to rectify our affairs as an ummah. We ask Allah to give the greatest reward of martyrs to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We ask Allah to reward them and to raise them and to make them from those who intercede for their families. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this blessed day of Yawm al-Jumu'ah, as there is an hour where the dua is answered, to give victory to the Ummah of Islam and to allow us to live to see the day where the Ummah lives freely and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's banner is raised freely. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us a day, a dark day for the tyrants and for the oppressors and for the transgressors, and to allow us to see a day with justice and freedom for everyone who is striving for it. Ya Rabbil Alameen. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروا على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة. Brothers, can you move in inshallah? Move into the main musalla. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
استقيموا واعتدلوا وادعوا الله في سجودكم. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفذ البحر قبل أن تنفذ كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي إنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم يا رب تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم بارك الله فيك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Just a couple of announcements, inshallah ta'ala, and du'as to make. Tonight, inshallah, we have a program with Sheikh Majid Mahmoud, who is a guest from the Maghrib Institute. He's going to give a talk between Maghrib and Asha about perished nations from the past. It's going to be a very nice talk. He's an amazing speaker, mashallah. I encourage everyone to come. We also have a bonfire for the younger sisters at night as well, inshallah ta'ala. For the Tarbiyah program, for the parents of the Tarbiyah program, I did send an email. Tonight we're not going to have Tarbiyah because we have this program from Maghrib to Isha, inshallah ta'ala. We have two du'as to make. One for the son of one of our sisters, his name was Kwam Adunsi. And another brother, Sayyid Rafiqullah Haq from Allen Masjid, they passed away in the past few days. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Allahumma ighfir lahum warhamhum wa'afihim wa'afu anhum wa tajawaz an siyaatihim. Allahumma wassi' quburahum. Allahumma wassi' quburahum. Waj'alaha rawdatan min riyadil jannah. Ya Rabbil alameen. اللهم صبر أهليهم وذويهم يا أكرم الأكرمين وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. I think that's it. I'm forgetting something, but it's okay. Today there's no Asr. No, Asr is later. Oh, the robotics, inshallah ta'ala. Yeah. There's also a robotics, inshallah, fundraiser tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to be at the Gem Center, right? Inshallah ta'ala. So we have that, and today I'm also going to be, for those who are doctors here, specifically orthopedic doctors, I'm going to be doing a fundraiser for an organization called Al-Fajr Scientific, inshallah. So if you are a doctor, inshallah, and you're interested in helping this campaign for Palestine, doctors that are standing for Palestine, inshallah ta'ala, then do come and help. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, the reviving Islamic tomorrow.